Yo, guys, welcome back. Stroll Show in the noon hour.
Radio Free Brooklyn. Oh, dude, that mic does sound really nice. Good.
I feel like I'm ultra powered right now.
It's got a new mic.
There's a new mic in studio. This is a Shure SM7B.
That sounds good.
It sounds, oh my God, so good.
The name sounds good, but the actual product that it's producing also sounds good.
It does. It's beautiful. As always, sitting across from me,
it's the C. And on the other side
is the Flow, guys. What's up? This is the Stroll Show, Seeing the Flow, Radio Free Brooklyn. Right before us was Point of Order with our boys, Joe and Jason and Linda, and they were talking a lot of sports shit.
Yeah.
Because it needed to be spoken about.
I mean, the Ryan Fitzpatrick era of the Jets is now officially, it's like a tale of two shitties.
Oh, you got jokes there, big boy?
Yeah, you got jokes? You were doing the rhymes before.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, if you guys caught us on our, live, our go live feed on Facebook, I was freestyling. We tried to do a little bit.
I mean, it goes like the only person better than Steve is like maybe Nas, and that's it.
And maybe Common, maybe somebody else. I'm not too sure. But we got a good show today. We got a good one. We got the boys from Keep Flying coming in, and they're actually flying in now. They hit some traffic. I'm sorry, I'm an animal today. They
don't even have coffee yet.
I know. No, I wouldn't even be on the mic if I had coffee. But. They're coming in. They got stuck in some traffic because, you know, it's a city, and they're coming from Jersey. So they'll be on probably in about 5-10 minutes. Henry's going to come down, lead singer. He's going to come.
And they're playing tonight.
Yeah,
by
that's
the
right.
way.
That is right.
Don't forget. I didn't even remember. I forgot.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, they're playing tonight at Gold Sounds, which is from this studio, 5 minutes.
That's five minutes away in Bushwick. So
yeah, come out. Around. They're playing. Our boys, Legend to You, was playing.
Have we been to Gold Sound yet? I don't know if I've been there.
No, is that like a Pavement reference or something?
Maybe. I don't know. I honestly didn't even know that place existed until this morning when you told me that they were playing.
I feel like they're like pop up shops, you know, they pop up all over the tri-state.
Yeah, it's really weird that like all these places just come and go, and like come and go, and like come and go, and like all of a sudden like there's new places to play, and
then they're gone.
And it's like you can't build a scene around that because like
rent is too damn high. the rent is too damn high. Party.
I mean, I'm sure Gold Sounds is a great place, but let's see how long it lasts.
I know.
It's like it sucks. But it does. That's how it is.
Yeah, they're playing with Patent Pending,
big boys.
Big boys from, I think they're Long Island. I'm pretty sure they're Long Island. And then Carousel Kings, another big in the punk community. Mm. So that's going on tonight. You go check them out. Check out Keep Flying's Facebook. They got the dirty deets for you. You can buy tickets online. You can probably buy them at the door if it's not sold out. If it's sold out,
that's your problem.
Third market.
As my little brother would say, tough titties. Tough titties.
And you know something? Dill is right. Dill is a good boy, and that is correct. But you know, we had a busy weekend so far. You know, it was we celebrated my birthday on Friday night.
Yeah, definitely a busy Friday. Went to that Barcade, which I'd never been to Barcade before.
You didn't even go to the one in Williamsburg.
No, I never did. I don't know why. I just my travels never took me there.
Damn. Well, I'm glad we got it. My birthday got you to travel out to. Barcade in what was it, Manhattan somewhere, the 24th Street.
Right. Your birthday will get me to do things that I wouldn't normally.
Yeah, I feel like my birthday is meant to damage other people's bodies.
Steve's main request for his birthday is please just be obliterated.
Yeah, but I was not. I was actually really, really good.
You tried.
I hate myself. I know what it was. There was stuff to distract me. There was video games, Crazy Taxi. We played Crazy Taxi.
Yeah, we played NBA Jam.
Oh yeah,
don't forget that was like one of the highlights of my life. Just playing that. I don't think I've ever played that on a stand-up arcade machine.
You know, I just want to just make note that Paul and I won 2 games in a row.
That's right.
And but I did find out later, I played with my friend Brian, and we played with the players 1 and 2. Controller 1 was broken.
It was.
But you know what? Because we beat Andrew and Nick, our two of our friends, it's totally cool.
That doesn't matter.
Totally cool.
That's all that matters. And I was more into that game than I've been into like any sports game of the last like 6 months.
We were in that just like... It was like when you used to play Wayne Gretzky hockey for N64.
Oh, yeah.
And Andrew would come over. And, man, it was just like getting it. Like, I don't know what cocaine feels like, but I would assume the effects of the energy would be something similar to that of playing the game.
Yeah. You always said we should play that in the morning before we go to work. And then we get so juiced up for the day.
Yeah, you don't even put Dunkin' Donuts out of business because everyone will just be shaking and mad and happy. All
like
the
having
same
to kind of take a shit a little bit. Like, yeah. Oh man, what's happening to my body? I don't feel good, but I feel great.
Yeah, I feel so great. Somebody, please get me to work. Please, I'll run to work right now. I'll walk across that Brooklyn Bridge.
Anybody who hasn't played N64, Wayne Gretzky, I mean, that's one of the tops. The top of the tops.
Oh my God.
And do they have a stand up arcade machine of that? What would you call that? Like, yeah, what, no, an arcade machine?
All coin machine.
Coin machine. They have a slot machine.
A nickel slot. I don't know. That's the slot machine. I don't know anymore. I don't know.
The penny slots or whatever.
Yeah, you know, but you still somehow spend like $2 per like max bet.
Well, you know, they call it penny, but you know, it's not like that little dish at 7-Eleven. Like, take a penny, leave a penny.
Yeah, mostly I just leave it all there because no one wants the pennies.
I mean, it just makes you think. Maybe they should just, you know, get rid of the penny. Like, do we really need that single digit on the, you know, maybe everything could just be rounded up to five cent increments. Yeah,
but I heard something. I'm not sure if it was a documentary because I can't remember what I watch anymore.
I can't believe you heard something about related to what I had. I've always heard something. Take a penny, leave a penny. Ooh. And now we're talking about pennies on the Stroll Show.
Yeah, we're talking pennies. But what I found out is that it costs more money to make a penny than the actual cost of a penny.
I mean, that's not surprising. That's not surprising.
And I feel like we got enough pennies in circulation. We don't need to make more pennies.
I guarantee you, I could find, like, if I just look down at the ground for 5 minutes straight, I could probably find at least 5 pennies, if not more.
You think, how could homeless people be homeless anymore when there's so much? No one wants change anymore. No one wants to waste money on change.
They should just have, like, you know.
That doesn't even make sense. Waste money on change. Yeah. I'm sorry.
We need, like, the sticky bandits to, like, make shoes. Oh, yeah. Merry Christmas, everybody. Yeah, it's almost the Christmas time.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Don't forget. We kind of glommed over Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we did.
After the fact, we didn't wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. I always go back and listen to the show. I'm like, what could we have done? Could we have done something better? What we do? I don't know. So I try to figure it out. And then I realized that, you know, the episode before Thanksgiving, we made absolutely no mention of Thanksgiving.
That's actually really sad. I didn't even put a post on Instagram or on Facebook or something.
We're not. I don't. Is that like a millennial thing? Like, oh, we don't think about the holidays like
top
10 used to.
Things millennials don't do.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wish each other good tidings and joy. I guess I don't know. I didn't even think about it.
I didn't think about it either.
I want to make mention now.
Yes, please.
Because now we're talking holidays.
Yeah,
we. The sea and the flow here, that's me and Paul.
In case you didn't know,
we have to rhyme that every time. It's in our contract to rhyme.
Yes, the contract that we wrote ourselves.
But we had a sign, and we're actually getting our lawyers to proofread now and make sure, you know, all the things work out.
Steve has a lawyer in the family. I have a lawyer in the family. We're good.
We're good. We're lawyered up. Ready to go. We're ready to go to court. But
if I ever see a cop on the street, I'm just like, I want my lawyer.
Yeah, I want my lawyer, sir. Please, don't shoot. But... We got 2 weeks off. We got through Radio Free. They let us, you know, allow us time with our families and stuff. I mean, not that they keep us hostage, but
no.
They give us, you know, the option to take these days off.
They graciously allowed us to take the Christmas day off.
Christmas day, you know, when Santa Claus comes to your house, or Tim Allen comes to your house and he drops off presents.
I did just watch the Santa Claus, by the way. I love that fucking movie.
As did I. I love that movie.
Man, that's like the best one. He made like when the part where he's making the dinner and almost lights his house on fire. Like, yeah. I legitimately laughed. Like, I'm like laughing. And I don't know what is making me laugh about it. It's Tim Allen. Tim Allen. Like, you got to give him props.
And you know what he does in that movie? He grunts.
Yeah, he does.
Like, he's like, I was like, you know what? You probably had to pay him to do that.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, yo, Tim, we need you back from Home Improvement days. And he's like, you know what? I got you. I got you.
He also did like dog sounds, too. That's another one of the things. Like, woof, woof. Like, he did that in the movie. Like, for no reason. It was like he had to do it. Like, it was like there was no reason for them to have written this into the script.
Unless it was Tim Allen.
Yeah, but it was just Tim Allen. Oh, we got to make use of his amazing grunting and howling skills.
Back in the day, that movie was big back in the day. That was in theaters. What can you get a Christmas movie in theaters now that's not like Star Wars in theaters on Christmas?
That's true. And I mean, you know, they do, I guess. I don't know. They have like Madea's Christmas. That was the thing that came out.
Yeah, but that was kind of weirded me out because like he's doing, you know, with the Tyler Perry.
He
dresses women too much now.
Yeah,
too
it's
much.
Just like you have like personality disorder. Are you all right, man?
Yeah, it's like, you know,
people love that Madea character so much.
Man, I've never really watched it, so I can't really judge as of right now. I'll have to watch.
Trying to think of other Christmas movies, like they had like Arthur Christmas. That was they tried to be a new one, which was like a CGI Pixar. I don't know if it was Pixar, but it was some
CGI.
Some CGI company was trying to make a Christmas movie. It was just like, once they made Elf, everything kind of went downhill from that.
Yeah, no, what I did watch too the other day with my mom, we watched The Polar Express with Tom Hanks.
Is that good?
Too creepy.
Is it creepy? Yeah, that's what I get. It doesn't make me feel Christmassy.
No, it's because it's an animated.
It's animated people.
Yeah, and it's like.
But it's motion capture. It's like a video game. Motion capture and like, so Tom Hanks appears in like his CGI form. It's like a little creepy.
He's kind of, and he's like angry all the time, Tom Hanks. He's like angry at the kids. So I'm not too sure why.
I've never seen it.
Don't watch it. Like, I'm gonna say this for everybody. If you don't watch, Tom Hanks has enough money. There's another Toy Story coming out, so he's gonna be good. Oh, Tim Allen again. See, look at that. Ties in.
That's true. But, wow, we went all around the circle of
of all the
6 degrees of Tim Allen.
Yeah, but we're also taking off New Year's Day. If you guys wanted to, 25th and the 1st, we're away. I think they're gonna play like a pre-record a show from the past. So
yeah.
I'm not sure which one that is. I'm assuming it's probably going to be like this one and the one before it. So,
but we're very grateful that we have those days off to do this, and that they're not going to count against us as like absences. It's just a nice. It's the Radio Free Brooklyn Christmas gift
that we
really needed. So appreciate that, guys.
Thank you.
And even though we will miss our listeners, and we will miss bringing you the goods
for 2 weeks,
only 2 weeks. And but next week we're going to do kind of like a roundup end of. Show end of the year kind of show, and we haven't really planned it out yet. So.
Yeah, we're working on it. You know how we do. We plan it in the car on the way over.
We know what exactly that's going to mean yet. But you have to tune in to find out.
Yeah, we can do like an Oprah's favorite things or something. Maybe we'll just get Oprah.
So you keep
she's got to be available, right?
You mentioned that, and I don't know what that means. I don't know Oprah well enough to know what her favorite things is.
Oh, bro, it's only the biggest show of the year, bro.
Oh, really?
Like, I mean, I want to go on record right now and say I hate Oprah because I think she's. Full That's of crap. She's full of crap. I mean, she gives stuff away, but I think she does it just to get the publicity. It's not because she wants to from the goodness of her heart.
And she's got the money.
She has the money.
She could very easily give a bunch of people in the audience a modest living for the rest of their lives, probably.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be a nice suggestion.
I mean, I'm just saying. She could probably pay every person in the audience $40,000 a year until like they can retire.
Yeah, I would.
What is $40,000 to Oprah?
That's like a tax write-off, probably. She probably will just have to pay any money in taxes next year.
That's the crazy thing about... See, I don't want to get into taxes.
That's one thing I know about you. You get
I don't like talking about
taxes.
I like talking about pennies. I love talking about pennies, but taxes, no, not so much.
But but Oprah's favorite things, it basically is it's a whole show.
Yeah.
I think that's paid in part by advertisers of her, and it's basically like cool Christmas gift items.
Oh.
So like if, let's say, like 1 year like the iPod came out, that would be... her favorite thing, right?
Oh, I see. So it's like it's kind of like a marketing thing too.
Yeah, it's basically like the Oprah Black Friday Day show, and she basically tells you all the favorite things that you middle-aged moms would like to buy, perhaps
thereby making those things probably sell out a little more difficult to buy.
Yes, I would agree. And so Oprah, you know, then she also has a magazine. She has the recording studio, her own channel. But like, so then,
but she doesn't have the show anymore, right?
So it's no, like she's she not gave
gonna,
up the show.
So she's not going to be doing the favorite things this year. So maybe we need somebody to pick up the slack.
Yeah, someone that's a huge vacancy.
Yeah, I mean, for me on my list, like at least 5 of the top 10 things would all be board games. Because
I know
I'm getting in that board game now.
It's Paul Cardboard Claro. I don't know. He's
more about that board control. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Hey, we got.
But yeah, like, you know, I'm getting into all those. I'm getting into all those. I know you recently bought a board game for your girlfriend, you know, your sister's boyfriend.
Yes, I did. I bought, it was the zombie one.
The Dead of Winter.
The Dead of Winter. So that's like a zombie survival, like twist, you know, like someone's
a betrayer.
You're like the mole or something, you know.
That's pretty cool. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, especially everyone's sitting around one board and you're kind of like, who's the guy? I know all these guys, but do I really know them?
I think I had a game... Because you mentioned The Mole. Remember that show, The Mole?
Oh, yeah.
I think there was a board game version of that. I had that.
Oh,
and, like,
my God.
Somebody was The Mole in the game. That was, like, the first time I played with a board game with, like, someone at the table could be trying to screw you over.
Oh, my God.
That blew my mind because, like, I don't know. You're thinking about it. Like, you know, like, most people, you think of board games. What are you doing? You're playing Monopoly. You're playing Life.
Yeah, you're playing the basics.
Stratego, is that something?
That's why I got to give you credit. When we were in the apartment together, mm-hmm. you always had the games.
I did bring those games.
You had games, and I was like Betrayal on the House of the Hill, that was. And that was like another kind of betrayal, murder mystery.
Has
like
betrayal in the name. So what could you expect?
Yeah, I could expect no less.
But that was a gateway game for me, as what they say is like a gateway game. Like, you know, like some bands like you listen to, like Blink-182 is a gateway band for so many different people to find out so many different bands. Or Nirvana was a gateway band for so many people to find out about fucking all the SST stuff and like the hardcore punk and shit. Like, there's games that are like that too. Like, even video games. You could go... for anything, right? But like Betrayal on the House on the Hill was like a game that was based on like scenarios that play out in this open world of the game. Like, and you never know what you're going to get because you flip over tiles and you're building the house. And then certain things could happen that make the house fall away. It's crazy. And like, I was like, damn, a board game could be this? Like, how is that possible? Like, I got on the YouTube and on the Google.
You know,
and
that
my life
YouTube,
changed forever.
Yeah, the YouTube destroys our lives. We know that from playing, as you mentioned, frequently Pokemon.
Yeah, but, of course.
It gets you more engaged because you see other people playing, and that makes you want to play, and then you want to buy other stuff, and then before you know it, we got no money.
But see, that's the thing. It's like there's people who like don't like board games or don't want to spend money on like entertainment because they think that's not what they value, right? Like someone like me, and maybe you, we value like this entertainment. But you got to collect all this stuff. It's just like with vinyl. Like when I got into vinyl, I had to get all these things. Remember, we would go to record store day like every year, and we just spend so much money. It's like, and now I'm kind of like, I'll still buy vinyl if I see it, but like I don't go searching out for it so much. It's like we go through these phases, just like with the Pokemon. Like, oh, now we need all these Pokemon cards.
And then I'm okay with that. Like, wait, what else can I spend money on at this present moment?
So right now it's board games for me.
It's Mr. Board Game. So if you guys ever want to come and play board games,
my house is always open.
You know, just hit us up right now, Stroll Show BK on Facebook. Send us a message, and you know, you'll more than likely be like, yeah, you come on down, we'll play some games. Because Paul's getting more games. Christmas is coming.
I still legitimately, like, my wish list was like at least 4 games.
Wow. Yeah. So we're gonna get some games.
Yeah, we're gonna get some games in. And speaking of that, I've been doing some research. I found some board game designers that maybe in the future, maybe next year, we do a couple of board game designer interviews.
Oh my god.
That be cool?
See, we're having a meeting on the air right now. This is what we do. We're like, you want to do that? I'm like, fucking right, we want
to
do that.
Well, because we got Keep Flying coming in, and they're just running a little late, as Steve said. They're flying down to the studio, as Steve said. We're just trying to, you know, hello, my baby, hello, my honey, doing a little shucking and jiving like we always do, and trying to wait for them to get here so we could talk to them. And maybe you want to maybe throw a song on?
Yeah, throw a song. Henry's calling me actually right now. I don't want to do that on air, but...
Okay, well, we'll get a song going on. They have their most recent EP that they just put. They only have one, you know.
It's the first. Just came out this year, 2016. You know, Follow Your Nightmares. It's a 4-song. Henry, if you're listening right now, I will call you back in 2 minutes when your song goes on. I promise you.
We gotta keep it nice. Yeah. I think this is the one. Oh, they have a song called Candy Cane Forest. So I think that's apropos. This is Keep Flying. Their album's called Follow Your Nightmare, and the song's called Candy Cane Forest.
Have I take the pity's worst of all?
10 seconds.
I just already threw it on. I thought it was done. I'm sorry. Yeah, all right, we're back in studio, Radio Free Brooklyn.
The magic of Christmas just appeared in our fucking studio. He's here. He's here. Fucking Henry from Keep Flying is now sitting with us. Isn't that amazing?
Yes. It is amazing.
It worked out really well.
Welcome, Henry.
Am I on right now?
You are on.
Oh, you are on.
Oh, good. I am. Okay. I couldn't hear myself. I was making sure. I'm also not speaking very loudly.
No, so, you're doing good. You're doing beautifully. Doing beautifully.
Great. Excellent.
So, welcome, Henry. Welcome to the show. Hi. Nice to have you here. Your girlfriend's here. Yes. Thank you for coming as well.
Danny is here. She's mute, though.
She is. I can turn that mic on at any time.
Right.
No, she's
that was a hard no.
That was a hard no. That's respect. That's very respectable. No. That's okay.
So how's it going, man? How you doing? You took a while to get here. You're sitting through some traffic. You doing all right?
Well, you live in New York City.
Yeah, sorry about that.
We had to contend with that. There was an internal battle in my band, Waze versus Google Maps, and recently I finally was like, all right, we're gonna make the decision to do Google Maps.
Ooh, that's a big decision.
Waze. Yeah, it is, because I kind of like Waze, and like ever since I made that decision, it's done nothing but let me down. And so
Waze has.
We might have been here an extra 10 minutes. No, Google Maps.
Oh,
has.
Google Maps did. Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, I shouldn't trust the people who are going to take us over.
What caused the shift? What made you decide?
Mostly my band just trolling me for using Waze. It's really.
But I use Waze. Yeah, I love Waze.
You use Waze when they had the Shaquille O'Neal voice.
Oh, dude, I love that.
Guiding you around.
I had Stephen Colbert for a while.
That's amazing.
Oh. Yeah. I got my our band just roasts each other all the time. Like, it's just what we do. And I got a lot of shit for just using Waze. And so I was like, fine, Google Maps it is. And ever since I did that, I've done nothing but be late for stuff. So.
See, Google does not own everything yet. They don't know it.
They certainly don't own my heart.
That's right. They'll get to it, though. They'll get
hearts in Waze.
They absolutely will. I'm on file somewhere in Silicon Valley.
Oh yeah, all our personal files, all the things we like.
The same could be said for us all, for sure.
Right.
So obviously you guys tour a lot, especially before you became Keep Flying. And Survey Says you guys were one of the hardest working bands I've ever seen. And so Google Waze was probably your in your back pocket all the time, helping you get around these holes.
It was, yeah. Because get around traffic and stuff, and it's like a game, and so I thought that was more interesting. I have an innate distrust for Google, even though I use it for everything just like everybody else does. I still don't trust it. It's an evil that I just accept.
Right.
And so that's just why. So
it's crazy, and I can't imagine how it would have been like back in with 30 years ago. And like
I don't even want to know.
You're sitting there with a map on the front hood of the car, just like, where do we got to go?
Yeah,
you
know? Like Black Flag, all those SST bands that just would tour all around all the time, and just like with a map.
I don't know how you book shows without it. Like there's no way.
it's insane.
I can't even wrap my head around it right now.
I can't even.
So tonight you guys also are playing a show at, what's that place? Gold Sounds.
Gold
right?
Sounds. Yeah.
Have you played there before?
No.
Do you know anything about it? It just kind of popped up.
All I know is that it's small.
Yeah.
And there's like 500 bands on the show. So
legitimately.
We'll see how it goes. That's the only thing I know.
What time does that show start tonight?
Here, I'll pull it up for you.
Nice. Because we plugged it earlier, but I didn't give a start time. But I feel like because I saw a couple bands on there and a couple we know, like Legend of You and even Midnight Foolishness is playing too.
Oh, really?
Yes. Your boy from Bay Ridge.
Yeah, yeah. Guy from went to high school with him.
Yeah.
So, that's crazy.
Doors are at 5, first band 5:30. And then
you guys know what time you're going on?
Keep Flying is on at 6:45. And then there's a bunch of other bands after us too. So we're pretty early today.
Okay. So get there by 6:45 basically. Yeah, you get to see our boys and Keep Flying.
Cheers.
That's crazy. So many bands that, like on a Sunday too. Is it like a specific reason the show's happening? Is it for like all ages?
It's like two tours that are kind of like come together. So Pat and Penning's doing their East Coast holiday shows, and our friends in Carousel Kings are doing an East Coast tour with Knockout Kid,
okay,
and Count of Four, and so they kind of just combine the shows, and just made one giant show full
gotcha.
Of bands.
Yeah.
So
you guys are currently like on tour right now. Like,
yeah,
yeah.
Technically,
technically,
yeah. It's we're on tour for the next 2.5 weeks in the Northeast. So just kind of big, doing a bunch of circles through New England and upstate New York and Pennsylvania and New Jersey. So we're just going to be, it still counts as a tour, even though the drives are short.
Yeah.
So
you're playing different cities. That's a tour, right?
Yeah.
You're playing around.
I won't be home. It's a tour. Yeah.
And so booking a tour like that, like, is this like the first, like,
the maiden, like, the maiden keep flying tour?
Yeah, you guys have toured a little more, right?
Not really. I mean, we're a new band, but we started the band in, technically we announced the band in May, and then we did our first tour in August, and kind of just been touring since then. So this is like, honestly, I think it's like our third.
Gotcha.
Our first of the Northeast, though, at least like properly. So like proper New England shows and proper New York City, Jersey shows and Pennsylvania too. So everything else has been either down South or Midwest. So
gotcha. Yeah. Has it been like different booking the tours for Keep Flying as it was for Survey Says? Is it kind of like the same kind of thing, or are you going after the same kind of demographic? Because the music is obviously, I mean, very different. And I mean, it sounds like you want to kind of be a new band. You don't want to like hang it on, yeah, like, oh, Survey Says, you know, like you did a lot of work for that. So you're owed, I don't know, I don't want to say like you're not owed anything in the music business, right?
No, but
like,
no. But like, never, still, nobody ever owes you anything.
Right. But I feel like you're owed a little bit of like collateral for all the work you did for Survey Says.
It's not a matter of being owed anything. It's just that I think that I was lucky enough to develop contacts and connections with people that legitimately trusted what it is I'm putting out there.
Right.
They want to stay friends,
yeah,
with me and us. And that they're, you know, the majority of people still, you know, followed us to Keep Flying. So it wasn't, but it is different though, because I'm treating it as if we're brand new.
Right.
I want to be like, hey, we used to be this band. We're not this band. So please do exactly the same thing you did for this band. You know what I mean? Like, I respect that we're nobody, and I like that we're nobody.
Right.
Now, the whole idea of this was to do a clean slate, mm-hmm, and to start fresh and to do it right this time. And so it is very different. I mean, in that, you know, it's not easy. And of course I ran into the pitfalls where sometimes I don't want to expect things. You have expectations that I wanted to throw away. And that was actually one of my least favorite things about being toward the end of Survey Says, is that I got lax in my laurels, and I almost did what I would never wanted to do, which not totally, but I kind of expected, like, hey, not that I'm ever was anybody, but like I had a little bit like, oh, yo, I'm this guy.
Yeah. That's part of your identity, though. Yeah. Like, it's that you are that guy, you know?
And
like,
you did some big thing. I mean, you guys played Ride Fest, yeah, opened for Real Big Fish and stuff like this. So that's not nothing. It's not nothing.
Oh, no, yeah, yeah. And you're right. But, like, I think toward the end of Survey Says, I had certain expectations that I don't always think I deserved. And so I wanted to take a step back and be like, don't get too heady of yourself,
yeah,
Henry. And so you know, so it's fun and refreshing to put myself back in step one.
Yeah.
And hopefully it builds better than that one did.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask Henry, so how did it come about? The end of Survey Says, right? And now, how did Keep Flying come about during this time? Because I know you guys, we saw you guys play at...
not too long ago, yeah, at Grand Victory.
At Grand Vic, yeah.
Well, I'll give you the basic timeline of events. So... end of last year, me and my brother had a big conversation. My brother also, who is like my co-writer and partner in Survey Says and this and Keep Flying, he had essentially quit Survey Says. Like, I don't know if a lot of people know that. Like, he didn't do a lot of the last tours. He just wasn't there. He just couldn't do it anymore. And he was just unhappy with being in Survey Says, and therefore I was unhappy.
But yeah,
somebody had to do it. So anyway, at the end of last year, we had a big conversation. Like, for many years, we had tossed around the idea of changing our name. And I kind of fought the idea at every step, because I felt like I was too scared to give up that piece of my identity. And I felt like that would be starting over. And like, look at all the things we've done. Like, we would have to literally start over. And then one piece of, you know, information back and forth went led to another. And so he convinced me that it would be a good idea to start over. And I was like, okay, let me take my time to wrap my head around this. So, even as Survey Says, we still had shows booked. So we came and played Brooklyn and we did like this and whatever. So, but basically at the end of last year, it was decided that we were not going to be Survey Says anymore. And first it was a name change and then it became, this should be a new band. Like we should just start again. And that's what it was. So even during those shows and everything, we already knew that we were over. The people who played those shows in Survey Says are now Keep Flying, essentially. Like that bass player and that drummer, like mm-hmm. that's who Keep Flying is now. And, couple of us left. They went off and they didn't want to be in Survey Says anymore, and nobody really wanted to be in Survey Says anymore. And we just did. I promised myself when I started Survey Says that if I started running in sand and I knew that this wasn't working somehow, that we would make a change, and that's what we did. And so we didn't, and we also didn't want to break up the band, announce a breakup, and later down the road announce a new band. We didn't really want there to be a quote-unquote grief period. Also, this is for a band that doesn't matter. Like Service has said, you guys and maybe five other people that liked us, and so we really played it up in my head. So, but we didn't want there to be a grieving process. We wanted to just be like, okay, you're doing this now. Let's not, you know, because like, when band breaks up, it's hard to announce another band after that. It's less of a deal. So it's like, I wanted people to know that we were still making music and still going to try to be a band.
Yeah.
So
I think you did a good job of that too. Cause like it never came across as like a breakup at all. Like, or never came across as like someone wanted to leave the band. The transition just seemed like, Oh, this is like a change. This is just a change where we've decided to make this change for whatever reason.
We didn't announce who left, you know, like we didn't announce like, you know, this person's a piece of shit. Fuck them. Or like whatever, which we, you know, even if, despite wanting to sometimes, but,
take the high road.
Right. Know? Right. And there's no reason to do that. There's enough negativity in private life without having to put it on the internet. So,
well said, sir.
Thank you. Yeah. So we didn't want it to be a sad thing. We wanted people to be excited for Keep Flying and not sad for the end of Survey Says. So That's what it was. And here we are and people like it. So I think it worked out.
Yeah, do you find like you get something different out of it than you did from Survey Says?
Yes. Or?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Positive, happy change? Positive?
Yes. Very.
Awesome.
First of all, our name is spelled correctly now.
Yeah, and I always wondered why that was different.
Which is really nice. it's nice to be in a band from the very beginning and have stuff sound good. Like Survey Says, you know, literally was we wrote and recorded songs in my house for 5 years. I talk a lot. I know I'm really like, I know
no, I'm so, like, something like dropped
like,
in my head.
So you guys like, oh, what time is it? I was like, I'm like sorry.
No, just keep in track.
Something dropped in my head while I don't know what that was honestly. Just,
like, you guys kind of like, oh God, he's still
going. No.
Like Survey Says was never supposed to be a serious thing ever, which is why the name is what it is. And, it's nice to be at the beginning of something and have our first record sounds good. We have put out a video that looks good. Like, just be like, some people are aware of Keep Flying without having to be aware of Survey Says, which is great. But it's also nice to be at the beginning stages of something and have it be actually legitimately.
It's true. And you have good. You have some credibility as well now too. It's like, oh, that's Henry. He was doing all this stuff. So now it's like, you know, like a seasoned vet, I guess.
That's
in
nice
a certain
too.
Way.
That's right. Nice too.
It can never hurt, you know. Yeah,
right.
You like hit the ground running with it, so It's like a different, totally different experience than, you know, coming up from like legitimately nothing, writing
literally nothing.
You know, like
literally less than nothing. And so like it's really nice, and it's been received really well, and I'm much happier at this point.
And you also have
was a year ago when Survey Says was still trying to be a band, and so. And I think that's really all that counts in the end. It's like we're happy with what we're doing. We're more happy than what we're doing. And therefore, I think people that will be interested or already interested are going to be happy with it as well.
Yeah, was it a tough decision, though, to put down Survey Says and be like,
yeah,
I can imagine. Like, she put so much into it. Like,
it's like your baby almost. You know, now you're like, and now we got
to. Yeah,
you know,
I had to put down my baby.
It's going to college. It's really going weird. To college. You know?
No, it's. My self-worth and my identity hangs in what I make in music. And so to try to be put in a position to end your identity. Like, I don't care if anybody knows me as a person. I really just care about what I put out there as a body of work. And so it never mattered if anybody knew my name was Henry or whatever. Like, I just wanted people to know my band and know my music. And so it sucks to have to be like, well, I can't be that person anymore, kind of. And that's what I thought for a while until I finally, until it finally happened, until we finally announced that we're doing this and it became real. Because for months, like even playing that show that we were talking about at Grand Vic, like I felt like I was being a phony and a liar. Like, I'm up there playing as this band, knowing that it's going to be over in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And like, you know. And it was the hardest part, was waiting. Like, if I could have just done it immediately, it wouldn't have been so bad. But it was like having to take off the slowest Band-Aid rip of all time on a really hairy arm.
Oof.
And it's like, and that was that's an eloquent metaphor.
No,
and,
that's perfect, actually. Yeah. Made my skin crawl.
God, that is bad.
It is painful. Look at these arms.
I didn't know it was that bad.
One hair at a time. Pluck.
Yeah, it really was. And now that it's finally happened, I feel much better. It's but it was really hard.
Yeah, man.
It was really hard. I fought it tooth and nail. Like, if my brother was here, he would be like, dude, he didn't want to do it. Like, every day, maybe minute to minute, I'd be like, okay, this is okay. We're going to be all right. And then the next minute, I'm like,
why?
Don't do this to me. Please, you're taking away everything that I created about myself. And so, but now that it's here, I'm me again. It feels good.
That's awesome. And I want to one step back. You want to play a song from your EP, and then we can come back and talk about the EP. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
We already played Candy Cane Forest, I believe.
Yes,
that's what
did.
It was when I walked in.
That's what you walked in. So, Henry, I know only a few tracks, but would you want to do the
is there a song that people like maybe
do the title track
respond to really well that you kind of surprised you like, oh wow, you guys like this song, cool.
Everybody kind of has their own. I mean, it's only four songs on the EP, and they're all kind of their own thing. I mean, they're not different. Like, not one's like a country song, and the next is like a trap remix or something. But like, but they each have their own identity, and so people kind of pick and choose what they like. But our single is called Safety Harbor, so I guess we could do that one. There's a video for it, so that's the one I'm obligated to tell people about.
Contractually obligated to play Safety Harbor, which is coming up right now on the Stroll Show. We'll be back with Henry from Keep Flying right after this. You are listening to Radio Free Brooklyn.
Cheers.
Nothing I do matters. All that matters is what I do.
All right, we're back.
Safety Harbor. That was by Keep Flying. That sounded delicious. So I want to talk about the recording process of that.
Sure.
If that's cool. It's is it like a home studio? Did you guys go to a place?
No,
sounds really good.
No, that was we can't do the home studio thing anymore. It's like I for years we did, and we were like, oh, you know, well, this sounds okay. And then we finally did like a studio record.
It's like oh,
that's
now
what it sounds like.
I see what people. This is why people pay for stuff. No, that was done at Barbershop Studios in Lake Apacon, New Jersey. Produced by Brett Romnes, who is the drummer for I Am the Avalanche and the movie Life.
Oh, wow.
And Crime and Stereo now, too. And then also Gary from Crime and Stereo produced that with us.
How did you hook up with those guys?
Barbershop is... a weirdly prolific studio that's near where I live. It's just in Northeast New Jersey, and we there's a few studio options we had, and so mostly it came down to they had the week open that we needed to record. but they're also it's also like a beautiful place. It's right. So good, and Brett handles most of the punk rock that they do, and so
they do other stuff. They do a bunch.
They do everything. It's a legitimate like studio.
Gotcha.
You should really look it up. It's awesome.
And the guy from the movie Life, I Am the Avalanche, like works.
He's an in-house engineer for them,
and so like he kind of comes in and does like that specific type of project, like a more
He has the more know-how in terms of where that's concerned.
Gotcha.
Rock and stuff like that. So
because I'm just thinking like, oh man, it sounds to me like, oh, maybe he like owns it or runs it, but like you're saying, it's like a prolific studio.
There's different producers and engineers that work out of that studio.
Cool.
Like that's where like Breaking Benjamin records and stuff like that. And so
the timeless Breaking Benjamin.
Yeah, dude, that's the first one I could think of. I know there's more, but.
That's perfect.
That's all we need.
There you go.
That summed it up perfectly.
Yeah. So we did the four songs over there. I don't think we're gonna do the next ones over there, but that's not because we don't want to. It's really just because of trying different things.
So the plan is to do another EP
we're recording next month.
Oh, cool. Wow, cool.
Yeah.
We heard it here first, folks.
There you go. Yeah, we just put the time in yesterday. We just booked it yesterday. So we're finishing up. Like it's going to be 4 to 6 songs. We don't really know what it's going to be. We just want to record them, and whatever happens. We're also trying to do some covers just for fun. But we'll see what happens. I don't know.
Covers help.
We basically just want to do some goofy covers that we want to do, and just be like, here you go. Some fun.
Can you tease a little bit of maybe what kind of cover you might do?
Paul Simon.
Ooh.
Wow. That's not what I would have expected on that.
Yeah, that's right. There you go.
That's respect.
No,
there you
go. What I'm saying. Like, yeah, somebody's like, oh, you're going to do. No, I don't want to. We don't want to. If we're going to cover anything, I'm like so weird on covers. I waffle on whether or not it's a good idea. But if we're going to legitimately do covers, we don't want to cover like punk music. Like we're going to make it what we play. But we're not gonna like choose a punk band to cover. Like, okay, whatever, we get it.
It's like, what could you add to that? You know what I mean? Like, it's like if you want to do something that's out of that genre, so you can say, we're adding this flavor to this already great song. You know, that's cool.
So like, we want to do a Paul Simon song.
Anyone in particular? Maybe Diamonds on the Soles of a Shoe. That's a good one.
That's great.
it's one of my faves.
You Can Call Me Al.
Oh, that's
is what we want to do.
Just name a Nip's Heart. I'm sorry. Instantly, turkey's done. Sorry.
It's an important song in our band, and like we really want to do it.
There's lots
of horns
song.
And there's lots of stuff that we can do with it, and it's exciting.
Could someone pull off that bass solo in your band?
No. Well, at the very least, we're worried. All of us are worried that our current bass player can't do it.
Oh no.
I mean, we're gonna make sure he does.
Just the recorded.
Wiggy's gonna do it. It's all right.
See, it's a backwards solo, isn't it? Doesn't it sound like backwards when you listen to it? Or
it's very bizarre.
It's very weird. Do you know the song?
I don't know the song. That's why I can't.
Maybe we should play out on it.
Our bass player is not even the best bass player in the band, so somebody who can do it.
Now you guys have like 7 people or something, right?
Six.
Like six.
It's a lot of guys.
That's crazy. Yeah. Like, how does that work out as far as like practicing and booking things. Like, you have to get six people on the same page.
It's tough, especially since, like, a few of us are kind of doing different things. We all relatively live next to near each other, kind of. We haven't practiced in a little while.
That's overrated.
We will. It's okay. We can rehearse for free, but we're it's a little hard. It's not as hard as I thought it would be. My voice is so screwed.
It's all right. That's right. We just
the wild card in terms of scheduling is John, our sax player, who lives in Long Island, but also is the manager of 4 Year Strong and a couple other bands. So he's on tour with them all the time. And so, like, he's kind of away, and every now and then we'll gig without him. He's actually rejoining us today. So we played without him yesterday, but he's going to come back and play today and go the rest of the tour. He just finished up with Set Your Goals. So he's coming out to re-tour.
Wow.
Rejoin. It's a little hard, but it's not impossible. You know what I mean? And so we rehearse enough that we keep it tight. So it's not. And it's not that weird. I mean, honestly, my last band like had upwards of 10 sometimes. Not for a long while. Like it was a very short amount of time. There were 10 people in Survey Says, and like that's out of control.
That's a lot. You need like two vans, something like that.
Yeah, well, that was before we were like touring. Oh, okay, it was like, you know, we were still.
I shed some weight.
Goofy local.
But the bottom line is, you have your brother in the band, so you can always kind of just get with him and like. Kind of be like the nucleus of the band and practice and write and all that stuff.
We live together. Colson, our bass player, lives in my house, and so like we're always together.
That's good.
You know, we work. My brother owns a merch printing company that we run out of our house, and so like we all work there and do that. I work at the Sherman Theater in Stroudsburg, and we all kind of work at the Sherman Theater, and like so we're all kind of.
We're always together, yeah.
Each other, yeah. So we're never. It's not hard to keep in touch in anything. So, and we try to be better about this in this band than the last one. Like last one, we, you know.
Yeah, that's good. That's cool.
Communication is not my strong suit, so I'm really trying to be better about it.
No, but it's cool that like you kind of use that Survey Says as like.
I just looked at my girlfriend when I did.
Oh, hang on. This is not a therapy podcast.
I can throw in that other.
Very true with everyone in my life. It's a whole thing.
Right. See, it's just who you are, Henry. Just, you know.
You could have fooled me, man. You're communicating to me very well.
Thank you.
I feel comfortable talking to you.
Hey. Appreciate it, dude.
Get some Manny Gut.
Nice to be here, Bushwick. That's real good.
Obviously you've played around here before Bushwick, right? Have you seen that kind of like the changes of what's going on in this area, like over the last like couple of years?
I haven't been here in a little while.
Really, really?
Actually, no. I think we played the, was it the Public House? I can't remember what it was. It was like last summer we played in this part of Brooklyn.
Because Bushwick Public House does have shows. I didn't really even know that. I thought it was just the coffee shop, but there's like a downstairs basement.
I still haven't
maybe
seen
it. Maybe it wasn't there. I cannot remember what it was. It was like a weird, like just open garage space. Like the same, I got to ask the promoter from today. He's the same guy who did this show. We played there. Our last band played there last summer. I can't remember for the life of me what it was called. I don't know why. I'm usually very good at figuring that out. Like it's weird. Like we don't always come and play the city, mostly because it's logistically it's kind of a nightmare.
Pain in the ass.
Like today we didn't bring our trailer because it's too big and like it would cost us like $50 to cross the bridges, and so if not more, yeah, because if you add an axle it's another like it almost doubles the cost. Wow. Like, we have a 2-axle trailer.
Oh my god.
And it's already $15 you know to be for one car to go.
So it's $15 plus 50 or they add.
Well, I mean like you have to cross two.
Gotcha.
And so, and if you have to cross again in New York, you have to pay both times. So cross back in New Jersey, you don't have to pay.
That's insane. Right. You might not even make that back in the show.
Exactly. Like whenever we go play Long Island, it's like, I try to tell people, it's like, listen, we need like $75 right off the bat without gas to break even.
It
sucks. So we don't always come play. It's not because we don't want to, because I enjoy it now. For a while, I didn't enjoy playing New York City.
I don't blame you.
I don't blame you.
But now it's okay. I've worked it out.
So that's good. It worked out for us. So we're kind of starting to wrap up here. We got like maybe another 5 minutes. There is one thing that I want to ask you. It's just a weird music thing that it's come up in the last week. I was talking to you about.
Yeah.
Preface. Here we go.
Yeah. So, so this is like we want to try to do like a segment on the show that like things that make us go oh shit.
Yeah.
So like when I saw this thing, I was like, oh shit, really? Fucking Beyonce is nominated for a like rock Grammy in the same thing as like Godsmack, right? Like, whatever you want to say about Godsmack, I don't know, but like
wait, so hang on, people in my band were like talking about. I didn't look at the list. So is Godsmack actually? So you're saying Godsmack
is nominated for best
the same category that Beyonce is?
Yeah, they're in the same category.
When did Godsmack put a record out?
That's what I'm saying.
And Disturbed is on there too. I haven't heard
Disturbed
of Disturbed
put a record out.
Oh, is it Disturbed?
It's Disturbed.
Oh, I see. I confused them so much. I thought it was Godsmack, but it actually is Disturbed.
I don't blame you for mixing it up.
I didn't know.
But also, so the point. What I'm gonna oh shit about, not necessarily Beyonce being in the same category, is that Disturbed put a record out in 2016 that is getting Grammy nominated,
and no one knows.
And you know what though? If you wanna like try to, this is how I put it in perspective. It's like how the Oscar nominees are all for movies nobody's ever seen,
right,
or nobody's ever heard of. I don't understand. It's usually because it's like the highbrow movies that
it's the artistic ones, you know? I mean? For not us common folk to understand.
It's the Hollywood people jerking off on film. That's basically what
it's
it is.
It's art. I don't understand. And
but how come Fast and Furious 7 wasn't nominated? That had amazing.
I don't understand. I guess movies like that have better marketing, or it's because we're the age group we are. I don't know. Whatever.
There's a lot of philosophical.
So
things.
I'm sorry. I kind of cut you off.
No.
Was there anywhere else you were going with the Beyonce Disturbed Godsmack thing?
What's up with that? Right.
I just. It made me.
What's up with that?
Yeah. What's up with that? I didn't really have anything else to follow up with it. I just wanted to know what you thought about it, and because I know what I think about it, and then like what obviously the Grammys don't really mean that much anymore, but people still like if you win a Grammy, it means something, right?
I just think because we're in the punk rock world, so it doesn't really matter to us,
right.
It still matters to a lot of
but
people.
Is Beyonce's not rock music,
that's
right?
That's the question here. It's like I think she did like some kind of song with the White Stripes about Trump or something, and that is got nominated, so it's Beyonce's the singer of the song. So
Danny, you might know more about this than I do.
I don't.
Okay.
We gotta look it up.
I just heard about it like yesterday, and I didn't, typical fucking Facebook stuff. I saw the post. I checked the source now to make sure it wasn't fake news given to us by Russia or something. And then I didn't read.
Snopes. And then conversation exists now. Yeah. You're like, oh, Disturb this. That's, and you don't need to read the article then.
I have to do a little more research on it. But anyway.
That was in the Russia hack files.
That was part of the WikiLeaks.
Disturbed got nominated because of Russia.
They padded the votes.
This is the hellscape we're going to live in, guys.
Buckle up, boys. We got 4 years.
It's even worse than we thought. Trump won and Disturbed might win.
What else can go wrong?
I just say thank God we're in a basement right now.
Can it get any worse?
But yeah, so anyway, man, thank you so much for coming, Henry. Yeah, really appreciate it, brother.
You got it.
So anything else you want to promote, plug, or anything that we can before we get out of here?
My name is Henry. I play in a band called Keep Flying. Please look us up. You might enjoy it. That's about it. Come to shows.
I think you will enjoy it.
Live music sucks. But you should go anyway. I'm joking. you should support live music. It's a dying art.
No, definitely.
So, well, yeah, it's tonight. You know,
I don't even care if it's my show. You should go to shows. I don't care what it is.
It's true. I really whiffed the other day.
Get out of your house.
I was supposed to go see Kevin Devine on Thursday. I didn't even go.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't. I was just lazy. It was sad. Sad day for me.
You weren't a fan of the new album, so
no.
it didn't juice you up enough to make you go. But anyway, we're closing up now. Thanks everybody for listening. We're gonna play out on the Paul Simon classic. You Can Call Me Out.
Cheers. I love that.
Down the street, he says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot of redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, dogs in the moonlight. Far away, my well-lit door. Just a beer belly, beer. mutts away from me, you know. I don't find this stuff amusing anymore. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long lost pal. I can call you Betty, and Betty, when you call me, you can call me Al. A man walks down the street, he says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and oh, my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family?